Welcome to Basic Gospel, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Pfeiffer, I'm Bob Davis, and we're here live on the air right now to talk about the Basic Gospel, how it intersects with your life every day, and how the Word of God can help you experience true life and freedom in Jesus Christ. The number to dial, 1-800-677-9377. Don't delay, call right now, 1-800-677-9377. It's Basic Gospel. Hear it, believe it, live it. Now here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're going to go right to our phone lines today and talk with Ivan, listening to us in Jersey City on WMCA. Hi, Ivan.
God bless you, brother. I've been listening to you for some time, and Brother Richard, and hallelujah. And today, I made up my mind to call.
Well, we're
I need
glad
help
you...
from the Lord.
Okay,
I
Ivan.
Need you to pray for me, bring my name before the Lord, because I'm kind of going through some problem right now. And I want the Lord to heal me. Some very difficult period of my life right now. And I've been praying. But now the Bible says, we too shall agree, it shall be done, saith the Lord.
So, Ivan, are you going through some physical things, some
yeah, it's health, terrible, just
health issues?
Very terrible, yes. And the Lord knows all. I need him to heal my internal organ and restore peace to my whole body. In Jesus' name.
Yes, indeed. Well, love the passage in the book of Philippians where it says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving.
Yes, let your prayers be known to the Lord.
Yeah, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And a lot of times, Ivan, the physical ailments that we go through, it produces anxious minds. And God wants us to have minds that are at peace and that are at rest. And that comes as we release that to the Lord and then entrust ourselves to him. And so, Ivan, that's going to be my prayer for you. And let's just go to the Lord and pray right now, okay? Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for our brother Ivan. And you know what his situation is. You know what he's going through. He is requesting healing. Those are the requests that he is bringing to you. And as brothers in Christ, we join him in that. We trust your work in his heart and his life. We trust first and foremost that you will quieten his mind, that you will give him the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, and that you will show your presence to him in a very, very special way during this time. We also pray that you will heal what's going through, and we will pray that according to your will. And we'll trust that whatever happens is according to your will. And we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. I accept. Praise the Lord.
Well, praise the Lord indeed.
The Bible says we have two or three are gathered in the midst there. I am in the midst thereof. And the Bible said, if you come to the Lord in prayer, whatever you shall ask in prayer, believe you receive it. I believe. I'm a born-again Christian. I'm also preaching in the street.
Well, Ivan, good for you. Well, yes. We hope this situation rectifies itself.
I accept it already.
Okay.
That's it. I accept good
deal.
My healing.
Good deal.
Because well, the Bible said so.
Well, Ivan, let me do this. Let me put you on hold and get more information from you. And we want to stay in contact with you, okay, my friend?
That'll be fine.
Okay. Hang on the line, Ivan. Thanks for your call today.
Yes, indeed.
Thank you.
Plenty of open lines. We'd love to hear from you. Discuss your situation. If you have a question concerning some Bible passage that you just can't quite understand, why, a good opportunity right now. The lines are pretty much wide open at 1-800-677-9377. It's Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher, Richard Pfeiffer. My name is Bob Davis. Thank you for joining us. Guys, a question from Robin, who writes to us listens on the online. Says, this is concerning accountability. So I really get blessed by your broadcast, but would like to get some clarity on the issue of confession of sin. I believe the Lord died for all of our sins, past, present, and future, but there are a lot of Christians who have real sin problems, and I'm not talking about just swearing or some such. I'm talking about stealing and jealousy and pornography and adultery and gross sins, murder and deceit. Yes, the Lord died for them all, but what about accountability for them? Surely they can't just be swept under the rug. For example, if you stole from the bank or from some company, surely you can't just say, oh, well, Jesus died for them, and so be it, and then carry on with this attitude. What is your thought on this?
Well, I think a born-again believer just that truth alone means the Spirit of God lives in that particular person, and the Spirit of God is interested in that person expressing his faith in Christ in love to one another. And certainly all of those things that she listed as sins, that's not loving others. And I think God's Spirit brings those issues up to us in light of love. How is looking at pornography? What statement are you making to your wife when you're looking at pornography? What statement are you making to these people when you're slandering them, saying evil things, or whatever other sin there is that is so prevalent out there in the world? What statement about the love of God are you making? And when you really get down to it, sin is the very opposite of love. Love would never do harm to its neighbor. Love would never do harm to anyone. But sin constantly does. And so I think if we're truly born again, we start seeing our sins in that realm. We realize that they have consequences for other people. They hurt other people. They bring pain and sorrow into the lives of other people. And you sit back and say, I don't want to be involved in that. Lord, teach me how to trust you in such a way that in my actions I express the love of God to others.
Yeah.
And I think that's how God's Spirit works. He will reaffirm to us that the judgment for those sins has already occurred, that the punishment for those sins have already occurred. And then he will teach us how to express love to one another. That's the issue. That's where God wants to take us. That's where he wants to lead us, down that path where our faith in him is truly being expressed in love one toward another.
Yeah. Robin, hope that's a help to you. Thanks for writing.
I actually asked a question on Twitter feed today. What does God do when we sin? Mm-hmm. We always ask the question, what are we supposed to do when we sin? And normally we have a formula as the answer. Well, confess it, repent of it, thank God that he forgave you and move on.
Yeah.
Ask God to forgive you and then move on. So we reduce those things to a formula. Well, I think it's important to ask the question, well, what does God do when we sin? I mean, what does he do? I think most people would probably answer He's up there, he's on this swivel chair, and he's just turned his back to us. He can't look on that, so he's not looking on us. Some may say he's up there gagging himself. He's just sick at his stomach over us. There's all kinds of ways that we would answer that, but what's true? What does God do when we sin? Well, for those of us who are in Christ, he confirms that we truly belong to him. That's what his Spirit does. His Spirit bears witness with our human spirit that we belong to Christ. That's what Paul writes in Romans 8, a marvelous verse of assurance.
Yeah.
He confirms to us that the blood of Jesus took away that sin once and for all, that his death was sufficient, that the punishment has already been dealt, and Jesus took it for us. And that's what God does. And then he teaches us in that situation. Do you see that action brought pain and sorrow into the life of this person? Yes, I see it. Then let's go make amends. Let's go correct that and apologize, make restitution, whatever it might be. That's how God works in our lives. That's what God does when we sin. And in all of those steps, so to speak, there's never condemnation. There's never guilt. There's never fear that he puts in our hearts. It's always out of love. That's how God treats us.
Yeah.
So what does God do when we sin? I think when we understand that, we'll understand what we're supposed to do.
The other side of the coin, absolutely.
Yes, indeed.
1-800-677-9377. You've got Basic Gospel, and we want to hear from you. The lines are wide open. 1-800-677-9377. Friends, the special resource we're making available to you for only a short time longer is entitled Gateway to Grace, 6 messages and a study guide that can expose the phony stuff that many times turns people away. Gateway to Grace can open the door so you too can experience the reality of God's love and grace. To get your copy, simply go online to basicgospel.net. That's basicgospel.net, or call 1-800-727-2828 during Central Time office hours and speak with our operator. Again, that number, 1-800-727-2828 for Gateway to Grace. Yours this month for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel.
Well, and Bob, I certainly want to piggyback on that and try to say something that will rally the troops, so to speak, on our behalf. As you mentioned, this is totally listener-supported, this broadcast. It's reaching into the lives of people all over the world, not only here in the United States, but all over the world. Folks need to hear the simple, powerful, life-changing message of Christ. Religion has complicated Christianity so much, we just don't know which ends up, and we're so confused. And this gospel message cuts through in such a powerful way and brings people back to the things that are of most importance to God, the death, the burial, and resurrection of His Son, Jesus Christ, and how that applies and changes us. That's what this program is all about, bringing people right back to the simple, profound, life-changing truth of Jesus.
Yeah.
And we need help, your help, in delivering that good news straight to the heart of listeners all around the world. A gift of $35 this month will help us reach 100 people. A gift of $70 to Basic Gospel will help us reach 200 people. So a little bit of money will make a significant impact, not only for here, but eternity.
Yeah.
And right now, between today and July 31st, we still need about $20,000 to meet our expenses for this month. So I want to rally the troops. I want folks to partner with us today, to make a contribution today. They can do so in several ways, as you mentioned, but go to basicgospel.net. Click the support link, follow the instructions there, or call Billy at 1-800-727-2828, 1-800-727-2828. Help deliver this basic gospel, this powerful, life-changing truth that Jesus Christ is alive, to hurting hearts all over the world.
Yeah.
It will be a blessing in your life, I guarantee it.
Without question. And you will get Gateway to Grace on the way to you for a gift of any amount. And, you know, Bob, that's, and Richard, that's why I really enjoy some of the emails we get, because they strike at the heart of sometimes the phony teaching that turns people away. And
that's
so
right.
We have the opportunity to address those and a great clarity, and Gateway to Grace will do that as well.
Yes, indeed. Let's go to Massachusetts and talk with Bart, listening to us on WVNE. Hi, Bart.
Hi, how are you?
Doing well.
Great. The reason I called is I've been reading Job and listening to the pastor who talks about through the Bible. They read one of his Job studies, and a question just came up to me. You know, at the beginning where the devil is meeting, or God's meeting in the council in heaven, and he mentions to the devil, you know, have you seen my servant Job? And the devil says, yes, but, you know, if you smite him, he'll curse you to your face. And then God says, okay, you know, do what you will, just you know, don't kill him. And then all these, and that happens a couple of times, and all these bad physical things happen to Job and his family and his livestock. And I was just wondering, is that just sort of a scenario for that book? Or in the present day, when bad things happen to people, particularly maybe physically or their family or whatever, do we think that, according to the Bible, that that's the devil having the power to specifically do that to us, and that God is letting him do it for whatever God's purpose is? Or is that just sort of a strange sort of a vehicle that they use in Job?
Well, Bart, interesting question. I think the Bible makes clear that all of us are going to go through trials and tribulations. That's what Jesus said. In this world, you will have tribulation. And I've never met a person that can say otherwise. You know, if you're not going through some adverse circumstances right now, you've just come out of one, and there's probably another one waiting around the corner for you. That's just the world that we live in. And the reason that's so is because of sin and death. I mean, Satan was allowed to come down. He tempted Adam and Eve. They took of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They subjected all of mankind under the universal law of sin and death. And the whole creation is just waiting for its release from that bondage. And those of us who know Christ today are the first of those folks that are being recreated. We've been recreated in Christ Jesus. We're brand new creations. And we live today in anticipation of this new way where all things are going to be made right. So, Bart, in this world, we're going to have tribulation. Now, I don't think that when adverse circumstances come, we have to look and say, oh, Satan went up and asked God if he could do these things to us. I think we just have to realize that's just part of the world that we live in today.
So when you read Job, or maybe when you read Job, did that whole like scenario in the councils of heaven, did it strike you as odd or weird or literary, or just, well, this is what it says, so this is what it says?
Well, it just kind of struck me as this is what it said. We do know that there's a spiritual battle. We do know there's a spiritual battle for our souls, that Satan is interested in moving us away from God. I think the takeaway as far as the book of Job is concerned in my life is that even in spite of all that Job went through, there was still something that says, I'm going to cling to God.
And he never really did. That was going to be my next question. I guess he never really did curse God to his face.
Correct.
Yeah. Okay. And I think what really struck me the most about it from a Christian point of view, and this isn't a question, I guess it's just me talking, is that him calling out and looking for a mediator with God. I mean, I think that's probably the most powerful part of the book for me.
Right. Exactly. Good point on that as well, Bart. And that brings up a bigger issue or a bigger point, is that everything that we read in the Old Testament is really truth pointing us forward to Jesus. The law is a shadow of the good things that were to be given to us in Christ Jesus. So we go into the Word of God with this attitude. This is God's testimony about his son. And I know through this story, as detailed as it is, that God is going to reveal something to me about Jesus Christ himself. And that's important. And I think that's exactly what you were mentioning there, how Job asked for a mediator. We all needed a mediator. Moses didn't serve that role. He did between the people of Israel and God. But we needed a mediator that could stand between all of us and actually bring salvation to our souls, and that mediator is Christ Jesus himself.
Amen. Well, hey, thank you so much for taking my question. It's been on my mind, and it was nice to hear your point of view.
Well, thanks, Bart. Good question. Appreciate your call.
Yeah, we can squeeze in another couple of calls. If you've got questions very quickly, give us a call, 1-800-677-9377, but do so quickly, 1-800-677-9377. A question from Claude, who writes to us from West Springfield, Massachusetts. Throughout the Scriptures, Old and New, God has called out, chosen, and elected those who will be His. Romans 9:11-27 and Ephesians 1 make it clear that God has chosen some to be saved and omitted others. Salvation is 100% God. Please comment on it, and thank you, and God bless you for your ministry.
Well, good question. That's the age-old argument and debate. You know, are we chosen by God? And then those who aren't, are they chosen by God to be destroy or to have eternal damnation? Is that a choice of God's as well? And that's really the big question that so many people get hung up on. But I think when you look at predestination, the choosing, it's always by grace. It's a choosing by grace. And it's always in terms that predestination is talked about in terms of Jew and Gentile. And what was predestined was that Gentiles would be saved in exactly the same way that Jews would be saved, and that both would stand together as one new man in Christ. That's what's been predestined. He's also predestined that all of us will be conformed into the image of his son. I think that's individually and corporately as a body of believers. That's what's been predestined. We've been predestined to be holy and blameless before God. Those things have been predestined. We try to make it relate to salvation, and we try to make it to the yous and the me's of the world. But when we actually read it in context, we see that it has everything to do with Jew and Gentile. Mm-hmm. And that's why in chapter 10 of Romans, Paul says, anyone who calls upon the name of the Lord, whether Jew or Gentile, will be saved. That is the point that he's making right there. Mm-hmm. Let's go to Kelly in Wilton, New Hampshire. Hi, Kelly.
Hi, I have a question for you. Let's just say that, I have a question about rewards in heaven. So let's just say,
Well, Kelly, let me do this. You're breaking up. Your cell phone is breaking up. But good question about rewards in heaven. Stick with us as we try to work through this. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul mentions rewards, and he mentions a place called the Bema Seat. And the Bema Seat is a place of judgment, but it's a positive judgment. It's not a negative judgment. The imagery is from sporting games. Paul took that imagery where athletes went to receive their rewards for a race well run. We still have that in the Olympics today when folks go and receive their medals, either gold, silver, or bronze. That would be a Bema seat, so to speak. So when we die, we're going to stand before God, and our works will be appraised. And we will find out if we were used by God in certain ways and if we tried to do things in the energy of the flesh. Those things that we did in the energy of the flesh, they're just going to be burned up. Why? Because those weren't the right building materials. But those things done by faith in Jesus Christ, how he worked in and through us, those things will be preserved through the fire. Why? It was the right building material, and we'll be rewarded for that. But the reason that Paul brings that up is to stop the judging that was going on between believers. And certainly that was happening in Corinth, and it happens today. You know, folks will say, you know, this gift of the Spirit is more important than that gift. Well, why are you saying that? If God gives a gift, it's important because God gave it. If he gives somebody else a different gift, that's important too. Why? Because God gave it. It's not the gift. It's the fact that God gave something. So why do we want to argue over those things? Some folks argue over ministry. Evangelism is more important than discipleship. Well, who says? Well, if you're an evangelist, that you say that.
Yeah.
But he tries to say, God is using all parts of the body for his glory and for the advancement of his kingdom. So stop judging one another. Every person will stand before God and their works will be appraised in the sense of were they valuable in advancing the kingdom of God or were they not? It's a simple thing. So hope that helps, Kelly. Glad that you called today. We certainly appreciate it.
Yes.
And we've come to the end of another broadcast.
We have indeed, and end of another week, as a matter of fact. And we want to say thanks to everybody who called this week to be a part of Basic Gospel. And friends, it's only by God working through you, our listeners and supporters, that Basic Gospel is on the air every day. And we hope to say thank you to everybody who gives to make this program possible. As Bob Christopher said, it's only you giving through God giving through you that makes it possible for us to be here every day. And for a gift of any amount during the rest of this month, we will send you our CD Bible study series, Gateway to Grace, 6 messages and a study guide to help you go free from traditional religious beliefs and show you the way to stop slogging through life in religious bondage year after tiring year. To complete your gift and request your copy, visit basicgospel.net. That's basicgospel.net or call 1-800-727-2828. Gateway to Grace, yours this month for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel. Again, that toll-free number, 1-800-727-2828 during Central Time office hours. You know, at Basic Gospel, we like social media. We use it, and we hope you do too. And if you do, we hope you'll like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at BasicGospelRDO. Now for Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, and the ministry staff, Bob Davis saying so long from Big D. We'll see you on Monday for another edition of Basic Gospel. Bye-bye.